Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 26, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Avatara hi asankhyeya hare sattvad nidhe dvijaha yatha vidasena kulya sarasasyu sahasrashaha. O Brahmanas, the incarnations of the Lord are innumerable, like rivulets flowing from inexhaustible sources of water. I'm going to leave that right in the center of the room. It would be better on the side, isn't it? O Brahmanas, the incarnations of the Lord are innumerable, like rivulets flowing from inexhaustible sources of water. Purport. The list of incarnations of the personality of Godhead given herein is not complete. It is only a partial view of all the incarnations. There are many others such as Sri Hayagriva, Hari, Hamsa, Krishnagarbha, Vibhu, Sudhama, Yogeshwar, Brihad Bhanu, and others of the bygone ages. Sri Prahlad Maharaj said in his prayer, "My Lord, you manifest as many incarnations as there are species of life, namely the aquatics, the vegetables, the reptiles, the birds, the beasts, the men, the demigods, etc., just for the maintenance of the faithful and the annihilation of the unfaithful. You advent yourself in this way in accordance with the necessity of the different yugas. In the Kali Yuga, you have incarnated garbed as a devotee. This incarnation of the Lord in the Kali Yuga is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many other places, both in the Bhagavatam and in other scriptures, in which the incarnations of the Lord, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is explicitly mentioned. In the Brahma Samhita also it is said indirectly that although there are many incarnations of the Lord, such as Rama, Nrsimha, Varaha, Matsya, Kurma and many others, the Lord Himself sometimes incarnates in person. Lord Krishna and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not therefore incarnations, but the original source of all other incarnations. This will be clearly explained in the next shloka. So the Lord is the inexhaustible source for innumerable incarnations which are not always mentioned. But such incarnations are distinguished by specific extraordinary feats which are impossible to be performed by any living being. That is the general test to identify an incarnation of the Lord directly and indirectly powered. Some incarnations mentioned above are almost plenary portions. For instance, the Kumaras are empowered with transcendental knowledge. Sri Narada is empowered with devotional service. Maharaj Prithu is an empowered incarnation with executive function. The Matsya incarnation is directly a plenary portion. So the innumerable incarnations of the Lord are manifest all over the universe is constantly without cessation, as water flows constantly from waterfalls. The topic is the incarnations of the Lord, and particularly it's mentioned here that avatara hi asankhyeya, that the incarnations are innumerable, asankhya, impossible to count. This does not, however, mean that anyone and everyone who is imagined to be an incarnation is an incarnation of the Lord. Actually, this word incarnation, avatar, is a better word. Even in English, that word is understood now. Or not misunderstood, it's misunderstood. It's entered the English language. Avatar is misunderstood to mean all these bogus people, practically. But avatar, that is a more precise word. That means who has come from above, who descends. Whereas incarnation means, it literally, if we see the etymological root, it means one who has accepted a body. So in one sense, even the jivas can be called expansions of the Lord. They are expansions of the Lord, vibhinamsha. But the avatars particularly refers to swangsha, those who are the direct, personal parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. They are called swangsha. and vibhinna, different angsha. Amayav angsho, jiva loke, the jivas. Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita that the jivas are also his angshas. But that is defined in Varaha Purana. There's difference between swangsha and vibhinangsha. Swa means own. Own part, directly the Lord himself. And vibhinangsha means separate. So the avatar, they are the Supreme Lord. Or those who are, then also some special jivas, they're also called avatar because they descend from the spiritual world to the material world with a special function to perform on behalf of the Lord. They are general. They may be Shaktyavesh avatar. As some examples are given here, the four Kumaras, they are empowered with transcendental knowledge. Jnana Shakti Sancharata. Narad Dev is, he has the Bhakti Shakti. Prithu Maharaj, Palan Shakti. They are called Shaktyavesh Avatar because they, in a particular function, they act in the same way as the Supreme Lord. And Avatar because they come from, they're sent by the Lord from the spiritual world specifically for that purpose, to execute a particular mission on behalf of the Lord. So Prithu Maharaj, for instance, an example is given here. It's called Shaktyavesh Avatar. He's a representative of the Supreme Lord for this administration of the earth planet. Narada Dev is a representative of the Lord for preaching and establishing bhakti. Any great devotee who is specifically empowered to preach Krishna consciousness is understood to be Shaktyavesh Avatar. Kali Kale Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan Krishna Shakti Vinanahe Tapravartan. In this Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma, the religious process for the age, is chanting the names of Krishna. But only one who is specifically empowered by the Lord can establish Krishna Nama Sankirtan in this world. So such persons are also considered Shaktyavesh Avatar, not Purna Avatar. Purna Avatar means that they have the 60 qualities of Narayana. From them, innumerable universes emanate. That is not a quality of the Shaktyavesh Avatar. Others who are not Purna Avatar, also Manu. There are six kinds of avatars, which Lord Chaitanya has mentioned. Who can say? I already said.
Manvantara.
Huh? Manvantara. I just said Manvantara Avatar is one.
Guna
Avatar.
Yuga Avatar.
Yuga Avatar. Leela Avatar. Shaktyavesh, I already said. And one more is? Mahavishnu.
Purusha Avatar.
So these are the six kinds of avatars. Among them, the Shaktyavesh Avatar is generally a jiva who's Shaktyabhishta, who's empowered with a particular function, for a particular function. Then Mangand avatar is also generally not Vishnu directly. And among the Guna avatars, that Vishnu, he is Vishnu, he is Vishnu Tattva. Lord Shiva is in his own category. He's Shiva Tattva, somewhere in between Vishnu and the Jiva. Not an ordinary Jiva, but not Vishnu. And Brahma is generally Jiva Tattva, but he's also Guna Avatar. So this knowledge of the different avatars, this requires to be preached in human society. Otherwise, what's going on? There are so many so-called incarnations of God. Because of lack of Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, as is the stated function of this Srimad Bhagavatam, to give Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, scientific knowledge of God, we can say, of the other. Actually, these words are not very easy to translate. You can't properly translate it in English. Bhagavat Tattva means the subject matter of God. What is the Bhagavata of Bhagavan? What is it that makes him God? He's called Bhagavan, but who can be called Bhagavan? They have to possess Bhagavata, or the qualities that are distinguished, the lakshanams, the characteristics that belong to God. If they don't have them, then they're not God. They're not Bhagavan. So this subject requires to be understood. All these words need to be defined clearly. Otherwise, if it's not defined clearly, then everything will remain unclear. And when unclear means no proper knowledge, means agyan. It means we're still in the conditioned state. That's why so many people may say we are worshipping Krishna. But that doesn't mean that they're pure devotees, or they're going to Krishna, or even that they are worshipping Krishna, even if they say they are, because they don't have a clear understanding who is Krishna, or what is the meaning of worship. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught knowledge of Krishna beginning with Sambandhagya, Abhideya, Prayoja. So all these three are interlinked. What is our Sambandha? According to our understanding of our relationship with this, then we get an idea of what is the Prayojan. But even the Prayojan, what is the ultimate goal? That is, anyway, let's go back to that. Understanding that we're servants, then the Prayojan means to serve Krishna in the best possible way. And that also sets the Abhideya, the process of devotional service. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught what is actually Prayojan. Our Sambandha, Krishna Nitya Das. And he defined Prem Prayojan, Prem Apumarto Maha. Love of Krishna is the ultimate necessity of the jiva. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught Prem Parakashta, the topmost level of love of Krishna. When we talk of service, generally we have the concept of service means there is one who is superior and there's one who's inferior, and that is service. But there's another kind of service also. There's a service which is performed out of love, not for payment or not out of force, or not only out of respect, but out of love. Just like the wife serves the husband also serves the wife. Of course, in this material world, there's no actual love, but this is Chandra Shaka Nyaya. This is giving an example by which we can understand something which is beyond our present ken of understanding, grasp of understanding. So this, the wife serves the husband serves the wife, because not out of force, that may be in some cases, but ideally out of a sense of affection. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught love beyond surrender. That service, yes, but even beyond surrender, yes. Kinkar, that word kinkar, I mean, that's one, there are so many words for servant. Sevak, Bhritya, Kinkar, Das. Kinkar is a word. Kiminkoro. What shall I do? It means personal attendant, who's serving. But higher level is to do what Krishna wants, to understand what he wants, without asking. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this, how the especially the Vrajavasis, they're in so much depth. Their mood of service is so deep, they know what Krishna wants, and they act in such a way. And it may appear that in their dealings that they sometimes act in a way that is not pleasing to Krishna. But those who can understand that it's all very pleasing to Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gave the example in relationship with Bhishma Dev shooting arrows at Krishna. And Bhishma Dev is one of the Mahajans. Mahajan, they all teach that we should serve Krishna. So how is Bhishma Dev serving Krishna? By shooting arrows. Actually shooting at Arjuna, but we find many times you'll find in the descriptions of the fighting, they shoot the chariot driver anyway. And even if they don't specifically shoot him, then he's likely to get in the way of a few arrows also. So Bhishma Dev was shooting Krishna. Doesn't seem to be like a proper thing for a servant to do. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is certainly a rasa acharya, one who teaches philosophy but brings out the, especially is well known for bringing out the intimate rasas of pastimes of Krishna, he states that because Bhishma Dev was shooting Krishna in love, there's actually an activity of love, there's viraras, chivalry, that's translated in English, viraras. So some fight with Krishna out of a sense of love, because they know he enjoys it. That's different from the demons fighting with Krishna, like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. But they fight in a kind of sporting mood. Even Bhishma Devi is fighting with Arjuna. He had so much love for Arjuna. But in the sporting mood, even in the sporting mood, there may be a sense of wanting to defeat him. Sometimes the Gona Ras, or the subsidiary Ras, that may temporarily appear to overshadow the Mukhya Ras. The Mukhya Ras means that Shanta Dasya Sakya Vatsalya Madhu. These are these Mukhya Ras. So, but it may be that temporarily the Gona Ras, or the subsidiary Ras, may temporarily overcome the Sthayi Bhav. So in fighting, fighting means you don't do with awe and reverence. There's no awe and reverence in fighting. Not when, at least you might have awe and reverence for the commander of your army, but not for the... Even some awe and reverence may be there, but then in the heat of... Just like Arjuna had great respect for the... For his guru, that was why he didn't want to fight. Guru na hatva hi mahanava bhuktam bhuktam. What is that? A piha loka. I mean, it's not right to fight with our guru, he was saying. But he respected them. He was going to fight with them. Before the battle started, he shot arrows just at the feet of Dronacharya, Kripa, Bhishma, Shalya, all the person to show respect to them, just accurately put just at their feet. But then in the heat of battle, that respect, it's going to go away. Otherwise, if you're standing like this, you're not going to be able to fight. So Bhishma was angrily trying to kill Arjuna, and Krishna was there also. He knew that, he said, I will fight so severely that Krishna will have to come and attack me. So he was not fighting. He withdrew any, as Duryodhana had suggested. Bhishma wasn't fighting to his fullest extent because of a sense of partiality towards the Pandavas. So So then Bhishma lost all. He became one, so angry and fought. So his viraras, that overshadowed his sense of reverence for Krishna. His attitude towards Krishna was, we can say, predominated by vatsalya. He considered Krishna, he's my junior nephew, like this. So, but in the battle, he was shooting Krishna. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explained that this is just like in love, the one in the act of sexual love. The one partner may bite another, which is painful, but it's taken as pleasing. So that was Vishwanath Chakravarti's. He explained like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed Vraja Bhakti, which is very difficult to understand, especially at its higher levels. Therefore we find here Madhvacharya, he practically rejected, not rejected, but he didn't want to comment, because it was beyond the level that he taught. He taught, mostly the acharyas, they teach dasiras and sakiras half. And there are two divisions in sakiras, this gaurav, sagaurav, sakiras, with awe and reverence. And that means that friendly to the Lord, but never forgetting his superior position. Just like the friends of Krishna in Dwaraka. They're friendly, like Uddhav. He almost comes up to the Vishramba Sakyaras. Arjuna, when he saw Krishna's universal form, and generally the Mayavadis, they like to promote this Vishwarup Darshan as the most important part of Bhagavad Gita. But Prabhupada explained that when Arjuna saw the Vishwarup, he became filled with awe and reverence, and he actually came down. His level of understanding of Krishna actually came down, because when he understood Krishna's greatness, his intimacy became reduced, and he started addressing him as, "Hey Krishna." No, he didn't. That was before he was addressing, "Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Saketi, oh my friend." Sometimes I used to insult you and call you Yadav. You see, we are the Kurus, we are the Pandavas, and you're just a Yadav. So sometimes insulting as friends will insult. This is Vishramba Sakiras. Vishramba Sakiras means there's no feeling of awe and reverence, but sometimes in friendship you may fight with a friend, or you may playfully insult him like this. So Arjuna actually came down, Prabhupada explained. His appreciation of Krishna became filled with appreciation of his opulence, and then his intimacy with Krishna became reduced. So for real intimacy, then one should be able to, only one who is very intimate, he can, for instance, chastise the Lord. Who can chastise? Either one who is not friendly, or one who is friendly. Either our well-wisher or our enemy or bad wisher, you could say. So there may be devotees of Krishna, but they don't understand Vraja Bhakti, because they cannot imagine how anyone can chastise Krishna. They cannot imagine how anyone can climb on the shoulders of Krishna without being an offender. And therefore they discount Vraja Bhakti. Well, they may comment on it, but they leave out the essential portion. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the essence, we're talking about incarnations, essence of all incarnations. Avatara sa chaitanya avatara. Here we go. The word, we're using the words swangsha. So Krishna is avatar. So Krishna is swangshi or avatari, the source of all incarnations. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also non-different from Krishna. Non-different, but even more, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna combined. They are non-different, Radha and Krishna, but they're not together. Radha, Krishna, Pranayavikriti, Hiladini, Shakti, Asmad. Ekatmanav api bhuvi pura deha vedam gato to chaitanya akyam prakata yad adhuna tadvayam aikirupam radha bhava dhyuti subhavitam nomi krishna swarupam. Radha and Krishna are one, but their exchanges are on the platform of transcendental love, and for this they are eternally separated. But they have come together again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha and Krishna combined. So when Radha and Krishna come together, then because Radha is stronger than Krishna, her bhav is stronger than Krishna, which is why Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to understand, what is Radha's love for me? I'm missing out. So Radha Bhava, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna with Radha Bhava. So mostly he forgets he's Krishna, because Radha Bhava is stronger than Bhagavat Bhava or Krishna. And duty, and the he becomes black, a Krishna. Krishna Bhavan Twisha, Krishna, his Twisha, his bodily effulgence is not black, not that of Krishna. So it's golden avatar. Gauranga, Gaurasundara, who is Shyamasundara, has become Gaurasundara. So he is Krishna, the avatarasa, is the essence of all incarnations. Now, mostly people don't think he's incarnation, because incarnation they expect to do something like they expect him to do something like assuming the form of a giant fish and swimming in the ocean of devastation, saving the Vedas, or assuming the form of a giant boar and lifting up the earth, or killing all the Kshatriyas, because people think God must be great. So they measure in terms of what they consider to be great, physical strength or something like this. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's greatness is not demonstrated by that. There's most people in India think he's a devotee. Just he's another devotee. Yeah, at that time there were so many devotees. There was Mira, Kabir, and they're all so many in common. So many misconceptions. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's greatness lies in his love and how he has distributed that. This is his greatness. That greatness to kill the Kshatriyas, Parashura, Shaktyabhishamita, or greatness to lift the earth. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's greatness, more greater feat than lifting the earth, is lifting up the fallen jivas. It's more. Especially so, while all the avatars that their business is Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Tajushkritam Dharma Sangsthapanata Sambhavami Yuge Yuge, crushing the atheists, uplifting the devotees, and re-establishing the principles of religion. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has done that in the most extraordinary manner. He has given love of Krishna to a degree which even the previous acharyas, who were themselves so powerful, they did not even, they hardly began to conceive of. Ramanuja, Vallabh, to some extent, Nimbarka, to some extent, seen what is this. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the Krishna came and he brought the Prema Bandha, the storehouse of love, but it remained locked. He didn't distribute it widely. But Chaitanya, the Pancha Tattva, they came and distributed this very widely. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's greatness lies not in extraordinary physical feats, although there were some such things also. What we would call miracles, just like in his childhood once he slapped his mother and she pretended to faint. And then the local women were told, if you bring a coconut, then only she can be revived. So he went out and immediately came back with a coconut. And they were astonished. How is this possible? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that at that time, there were no coconuts growing in that area. So coconuts were not a common thing. Mostly coconuts, they'll grow in the coastal regions, isn't it? Here you have so many coconuts. The further you go inland, isn't it? You won't see coconuts. So Mayapur is quite inland. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained. That time there were no coconuts in that area. It's an uncommon thing. But he brought. So he explained that this was not a coconut of this material world, it's a coconut of the spiritual world. So, like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he performed some such feats. One time they were about to do their Sankirtan in the evening, they would begin Sankirtan in the evening. And so many clouds assemble in the dark sky and the rumbling thunder looked like there was about to be a great storm. So Mahaprabhu looked up at the clouds, clapped his hands, and they all cleared away, and they had nice sankirtan. So these, in some ways, he showed his Bhagavata, as people expect, but it's in a manner which is inconceivable to the jiva, to the conditioned soul, because the conditioned soul, he measures everything in terms of physical. So when the Lord appears to do some physically impossible feats, then they become surprised. Oh, this is something wonderful. That you see this Sai Baba, he does some tricks and they think, oh, he must be God, because of lack of knowledge of what is the Bhagavata of Bhagavan, what is that which makes him God. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is avatar, sa essence of all incarnations, because the actual work of the avatar, he comes down to lift us up. He doesn't come down and become one of us. He comes down and goes back. And when he comes, goes back, and he brings back so many with him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, more than others, he came from a higher place, and he takes others back to a higher place, to Goloka Vrindavan. Higher means higher in love of Krishna. So there's so much misunderstanding about what is the meaning of the word Bhagavan, avatar. And people don't know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu practically. Even if they know, they misunderstand. And here in Udupi, they have very deep misconceptions actually. So it's not a very easy job, but here in Udupi, our task should be to establish avatare sa Chaitanya avatar. That will be the victory in Udupi. Establishing that what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to bring, that Madhva, he was a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that he laid the path. He helped prepare the path. Otherwise, the influence. Even Ramanuja had come, made such great contribution, which Madhva didn't at least openly respect. Rather, he considered Ramanuja to be almost as bad as Shankaracharya. But Madhva, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly accepted, he appreciated his total rejection of Mayavad. This he appreciated. Of course, he so totally rejected Mayavad that the Dvaitavadis won't accept this, but his Dvaitavad was also so much Dvait, Shuddha Dvait. There's no But then it means there, he established, what is the difference between, especially between Jiva and Ishvara? Six kind of difference between Jiva and Ishvara, Jiva and Jara, Jara and Jara, Panchapet, five kinds of differences, and Jiva and Jiva. So he analyzed indeed. But if there's so much, there's no, there has to be some non-difference also. Otherwise, how can the Jiva relate with Ishvara at all? If it's total, if they're absolutely in a different category, then how can there be any relationship? So he emphasized the difference to such an extent that it's very difficult for how the Jiva can even relate to the Lord at all. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, philosophically also, that should be established. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, that is the perfect harmonization of all the Vedanta teachings. Madhva also, he rejected Veda Vakya. Shankaracharya, he rejected Abheda Vakya. He emphasized the Veda Vakya, the Shruti texts that emphasize difference of the Jiva and the Lord. He didn't, Shankaracharya gave importance to Aham Brahmasmi, the Abheda Vakya. Aham Brahma, Tattvamasi, that's also Veda Vakya, but Shankaracharya, actually Tattvamasi is Veda Ved, if it's properly understood. All of them are, if it's Aham Brahmasmi is also. But his interpretation gave only non-difference. Aham Tattvamasi. Ekadvatiyam, Ekavadvatiyam, there's only one and no second. So he misunderstands that to mean that there's only one. And there's no, everything is all one. But actually it means that he, the Supreme Lord, is one and he has no equal. There's no one else on his stature. So Shankaracharya, like this, he took what he considered to be he gave four what he called Mahavakya. He elevated them above others. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Omkar, that is the Mahavakya. And Madhvacharya, he took the Bhedavakya and he minimized the Abhedavakya. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed the perfect harmonization, that none of the Vedic mantras are to be minimized. They're all Brahma, they're all spiritual. So, and they're all meant for the elucidation of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, if we reject any of them, then we're not properly serving the Vedic mission. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed in this way how what Madhva, he rejected Shankara, but in so doing he also to some extent rejected some of the message, or didn't fully explain some of the message of the Vedas. So Raso Vai Saha Rasayang Hi Evadam Ladva Nanti Bhavat. Ultimately the essence of Shruti is to understand the Supreme Lord as Rasamai. He is full of Ras, and we are also, we have a function to perform in service to Him. If we're so different, if we're totally different from Him, then how can the Lord derive any and how is it possible that it's so different, then we are only coming from Him? So there should be some semblance in that. This is basic logic, that the effect should have some relationship with the cause. So you can't say it very loudly around here, but Madhva's philosophy is also incomplete and defective. It was meant for it's complete in one sense, but then if you see what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, then you see that it hasn't come to the, it cannot fully explain. Rasa Vaisaha, he is full of rasa. No, to the extent that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. It's inconceivable. We say achintabheda, it's inconceivable to those, to the madras, for instance. It's even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that which is Veda Atit, beyond the Vedas, which is not acceptable at all to madras. But it's Veda that's showing the way. But ultimately, this Gyan is not all in all. It is a rasa is to be experienced. So these are all very subtle and complex topics. Ultimately, it's beyond Vedavani, or maybe not beyond, but the pinnacle of understanding Vedavani is to go beyond understanding. Simply understanding intellectually, as the Vedas themselves suggest, and come to the platform of experience of the Supreme Lord. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that experience on the platform of Prem, which is the service, but to a degree that even Hanuman, who is famous as this, as the topmost servant of the Lord, that even Hanuman himself admits that my service is far outstripped. By, of course, everyone will say that, but practically there is no comparison to that which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Arajo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanyas Tadhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachit Upasana Vrajabadhu Bhagena Yam Kavita. There is no comparison to the service of Krishna which is done by the Gopikas of Vrindavan, of whom the center is Radha, as she proved by leaving the rasa dance, that she is more dear to Krishna than all the rest of the group of gopis put together. So privately, it's not possible to understand Krishna without understanding Radha. But it's so, Radha is so dear and so close to Krishna, and that love of Radha for Krishna is so, on a level so inexplicable to the conditioned souls, that we don't even talk about Radha very much, because first we have to see, oh, Krishna is supreme, get that understood, surrender to him, serve him. But ultimately the Bhagavatam, which doesn't even mention the name of Radharani, only indirectly, is only meant for understanding Radha Krishna. But others couldn't reach. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed that. So it actually requires a high level of spiritual advancement to understand how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most. He is the essence of whatever all the other incarnations came to show the way towards. He established that. He fulfilled to a degree even more than Krishna. Yada yada hidar paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya tadushrita dharma samsthavana sambhavami yuga yuga. So this Bhagavatam, we don't find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly. Indirectly he's mentioned. It's channa kalo yada bhavat. He's come in a covered form. So it's a very great topic. Many books could and should be written about this. I've written that small book about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give people some idea. But actually so much work is required. So many books should be written. Already Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Charitamrita Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I'm just writing briefly. He said every moment that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here on this earth, millions of books could be written about it. But I'm just giving some small idea. And that is also not a small book. So many millions of books need to be written establishing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It shouldn't be taken in a sentimental way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is... If we try to take it in a sentimental way, then we'll get mixed up with the jada rasa, or the materialistic so-called rasa. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has to be understood. It's not a mistake, sentimental. He was crying and falling on the ground. Not Sentiment, yes, but that bhav is radha bhava. So to understand that, one has to go through millions of lifetimes of philosophical understanding. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavam mahabhavajite vasudeva sarvadisa mahamasukurlava. One who's gone through millions of lifetimes of trying to understand the Vedic knowledge, they can maybe be blessed with the understanding by which they can begin to appreciate the greatness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's not, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult, it is not one dancing and chanting, yes, but it's not just for foolish people who don't understand Vedanta. It's for people, it's only for those who properly understand Vedanta. Without properly understanding Vedanta, no one can understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So anyway, there's so much to be said about this, but that's all for now. This is for today. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this?
The Bhagavatam, you also find Paul was saying that Krishna's position when he's expelling, there's nobody greater than him. And also he says, there's nobody lower than him.
No one greater than Krishna?
And no one is lower than Krishna.
Everyone is lower than Krishna.
I can show you that quote.
Please show. No one is greater than Krishna, no one is lower than Krishna. That may be in rasa vichara, but in tattva vichara, everyone is lower than Krishna. Matapurata ramnanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. No one is... Well, Krishna says no one is superior to me. But then we have the term also in Upanishads, asamurdva. No one is equal to him, no one is greater than him. You're putting Harinam on your mouth. Please be careful. So in tattva vichara, everyone is lower than Krishna, except Radha or Nanda Maharaj. Even in tattva in absolute tattva vichara, then Nanda Maharaj is also lower than Krishna. But in rasa vichara, then Krishna may be the same as everyone also. Tattva vichara means philosophical consideration. There's some advantage to being born in India. You can understand this. At least we can. It doesn't have to be translated. Tattva vichara. It's easier to say it. It's more meaningful to say it in the original. And rasa vichara means consideration of rasa, which is again not very translatable into English anyway.
Which is more important, rasa vichara or tattva vichara?
They're inseparable. If one has actual tattva gyan, then rasa gyan must be there. And rasa gyan cannot be. It cannot be without tattva gyan. If we say we only want rasa, we only want to hear about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, but we don't want to hear about the tattva, then that's sahajya, that's then misunderstanding. So we'll find Bhagavatam is tattva gyan and rasa gyan, both. The two are inseparable. Now, in the case of the Vrajavasis, their tattva gyan of Krishna as the Supreme Lord is covered over because their rasa gyan is so rich. They don't even consider it gyan. Maybe they don't even know the word rasa. So on the level of in lila, then especially in the highest lila, then rasa drowns tattva gyan. So in that sense we could say ultimately rasa is highest, just like raso vaisaha. You don't say. The ultimate tattva is rasa tattva. Raso vaisaha. We don't say. There may be others also, statements that he is tattva, but we say Vishnu tattva, but it's not. Vishnu tattva is only understandable through who is he? He's not just a feature or a function, but he's ultimately he's full of love. But even that love, you see how Rupa Goswami has categorized that in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and again in Ujjvala Nilaman, categorizing what are the different rasas, what are the divisions of those rasas, what are the expressions of those rasas, what are the stages within rasas, what are the stages leading to prem, what are the, even when prem is developed, what are the stages of prem, so all this. Therefore, he's known as Rasa Acharya, Rupa Goswami. Hare Krishna.